A little bit of background. The Torah says, we read it just yesterday, if you'll follow in my path and you'll fulfill my mitzvos, Vinasati gishmichem beitam. I'll bring down the rains in that time. Ve'achaltem lachmichem lasova. And you will eat and be satiated by your bread. So we gather the grains, we harvest them, and we make bread, and we'll be satiated. After that, the Torah goes on to promise other rewards, and that is, Vinasati shalom ba'aretz. I will bring peace unto the land. And Vishpati Chayav Ra'am in Aris, and any beasts, wild beasts, will be completely, you'll be freed of their danger. And then it says, Ridaftem Esoyvechem, you will run and pursue after your enemies. Venaflu Lifnechem Bechorev. We're going to study Likutei Halachos for Hilchas Pidgin Bechor, and I'm hoping you have that. It's on the table here. If somebody could just certify that you have in front of you Pidgin Bechor Perek He. Maybe if there's an extra copy, I'll take for myself just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Oh, thank you so much. Good. Pidgin Bechor. Okay. It doesn't say Perek Hay on it, but I'm going to hope it's Perek Hay. And there it is. It's not the top paragraph on your page, but rather the second paragraph. You'll see it says Yoredea Hilchas Pidgin Bechor, and then it'll say Hay, which means Perek Hay. And then it'll say paragraph Yud Aleph. Then you'll see an Aleph. The Aleph only indicates that this is the first sub-paragraph. So leave out the Aleph. Vizeh is where you want to start reading. Imbuchu kosei telechu, etc. And that'll take you to the end of that line where it says Vitamu harbe. Do you see that? Vitamu harbe. At the end of the first line of the second major paragraph. And here Rabbi Nosson quotes many, many commentaries that are perplexed by this parasha. What bothers them? We would have guessed, we would have anticipated that if we follow in the path of Hashem, we fulfill His mitzvos, then the reward, the schar, should be something spiritual, something eternal, something infinite. And yet, if we go through the psukim, in Parshas Bechukosai, and we evaluate the nature of the reward that God promises us, it all seems to boil down to physical, material rewards. We're talking about Gishmechem, you know, the rains coming down so that we can produce, the land will produce its grains. We talk about converting the grains into bread and eating the grains. And the Torah promises we'll be satiated by the bread that we eat. And then it continues with other physical rewards, such as going out to battle against our enemies and succeeding. So tamu harbe, many were in a tmiya. Tmiya means in amazement. They were perplexed. Shalo hizkir ki imschar olam hazeh. All the Torah emphasizes here is this worldly reward, benefits from this physical world. Parnasa, Visova, Kamuva, as it's explicit in the Psukim. And Rabbi Nosson says, if you look in the Mefarshim, you'll see many raise this question. Now, the answer to these questions that's presented by Rabbi Nosson is very, very original. And it's so revolutionary that one has almost a natural sense of, come on. You know what I mean by come on? Like, give it a break. Who are you trying to... You've tried to pull the wool over our eyes. Because we have a principle, Ein Mikra Yotzim Midei Pshuta. When we read the Torah, we want to understand it on its straightforward level. And yet, Rabbi Nosson is going to totally reinterpret these rewards in the Psukim And they are spiritual and not physical rewards. They belong to the world of the infinite, not to the world of the finite. So you could brace yourself for putting up your duke, so to speak, and you might have a natural sense of, come on. But let's see if Rabbi Nosson could do a job here and convince us that this parsha is much more profound than meets the eye. He says, Ach Ikar, and I would underline the word Ikar here, because I think with the word Ikar, he's telling you that you can interpret the psukim on the simple level, straightforward, as Pshuto Shel Mikra, but that's not the Ikar. That's not really, really what's going on here. Bless you. Ikar Avtocha, Shem Avticham, that God is promising them al parnasah v'sof. Vaha ikar, again the word ikar, second emphasis, hu mashe yizku al yidei ha-parnasah v'sviya. So the parnasah and the sviya are not the end unto themselves, but rather a means to an end. And what is the final goal? He'oras haratzon. I think we've mentioned this in the past. This is a Kabbalistic concept from the world of mysticism called He'oras HaRatzon. And we'll try to say a few words in our own understanding, as we say, Lefi Aniyas Daiti. What does it mean, He'oras HaRatzon? The word He'ora comes from the word Or. And the mystical writings, especially in the Arizal, there's light that comes down from on high. And this light is meant to be an emanation and an illumination of divinity in this world. The trouble is, it's concealed. And we don't have what's called the kelim, the vessels. We're not on the right level. We haven't developed that spiritual level that is appropriate for receiving that ha'ara. But it's there. It's accessible. It's, shall we say, in the air. We just have to learn how to tune into it. And if we succeed, then we're well on the way of climbing the ladder of divinity and getting closer to the Ribono Shalom. So how do we go about doing this? So that's Hakdama, that's introduction number one. Now I want to give you a second introduction. Eating, which is called Achila, is an action, an activity that's common to both animals and man. It's part of the animal kingdom to eat. Animals eat no less than human beings do. And there were many, let's say, religious thinkers of other religions over the course of history that believed that since eating is animalistic, it is something that we should be very hesitant about getting involved in eating. This is the exact opposite of the Greeks, but those who were in favor of reaching highest spiritual levels by minimizing our eating. And that philosophy even comes to fruition and expresses itself within Judaism. But from our perspective, Rabbi Nosson, that should be put on the side. That's a fringe movement within Judaism that really belongs more to a, I don't want to say Christian, but certainly belongs to those religions that would encourage asceticism, meaning avoiding physical pleasure, and certainly eating at the top of the list. Now, having given those two introductions, Rabbi Nosson is going to claim that in order for us to link up to that ha'oras ha'ratzon, that's, as we said before, it's in the air, it's accessible, what we need to do is we have to transform one particular activity, which he identifies as achila, as eating, into our response to Ha'oras HaRatzon. And that Ha'oras HaRatzon, which comes from above, now has its parallel, its mirror image, in a Ha'oras HaRatzon from below. We are now imitating the Almighty in Ha'oras HaRatzon. Just as God has this desire to reveal Himself, so that Malocha La'aretz Kvodo, that we men will declare God's glory anywhere in the universe, so too we have a parallel desire. It's almost what you call reciprocity. In our reciprocal way, we are trying now to get to the Ha'oras HaRatzon. And the specific activity which is going to be singled out is Achila. You know, you could have talked about many different types of activities. I can give you a list that's long, like the Jewish goals. But it's specifically Achila. And what we do in Achila, as opposed to the animals, who are eating just simply to enjoy their physical pleasures and to maintain their physical existence, we take Achila and we upgrade it and we intensify our spiritual experience of Achila. We're not going to avoid Achila, on the contrary. We're going to transform Achila and upgrade it to the highest levels of Ha'oras HaRatzon. Now, how do we do this? And the answer to this question is manifold. For example, Chazal speak about the 10 malachos, the 10 acts of labor that are necessary to produce a loaf of bread. And that begins with plowing and planting and harvesting and then sifting and then grinding, make it down to flour. And then after you make it into a flour, you add the water, and then you bake it, and so forth and so on. Chazal have an enumerated list of 10 malachos, 10 activities of labor, until we finally get at the end of the day a loaf of bread. So if, for example, your spouse prepares a home-baked bread, you have to appreciate all the work that went into it. And connected those 10 acts of labor, there are 10 mitzvos that have to be fulfilled before you can eat a loaf of bread. And they begin with challah, and they go on to Afrashas Truma, and then Maaser, and Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Sheni, and Leket, and Shikra, and Peah, and Shemitah, and so forth and so on. The magic number is 10. And those 10 mitzvos parallel the 10 acts of labor that are necessary to produce the bread. And this is all in the Torah of Rav Chaim Vital in the name of his Rebbe, the Arizal. When we fulfill those mitzvos that lead up to a loaf of bread, we've now been mafresh challah, and we took off Meiser and Truman, the whole 9 yards, all 10 yards, then we're ready for the achil itself. So we have stage number one, which is preparatory, which is a preparation for the achila. We've uplifted the bread to the highest levels of sanctity as a result of the 10 mitzvahs that were necessary to produce. In fact, some people have a minog, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, of grabbing onto the bread before you recite the bracha with your 10 fingers. And the 10 fingers parallel the 10 mitzvos that you fulfilled in order to get to the moment, the critical moment of achila. But you still need one more preparation. And that's the bracha. And the bracha is hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And this puts lechem on a very, very special level, because within the context of Shulchan Aruch, the laws of brachos, hamotzi lechem min haaretz is the top of the line. It has special, unique, halachic dimensions to it. In fact, the Bali Kabbalah claim that in the world of foodstuffs, there are 10 different ta'amim, 10 different tastes. So like, for example, you eat a pear, you get one taste. You get an orange, you get a different taste. But lechem, again, this is Kabbalistic, this is not something I can explain to a dietitian, contains within it all 10 ta'amim. It's kolel the entire tamid. So when I recite a bracha on the lechem, in effect, I'm reciting a bracha on all the tamid, the different tastes and enjoyments and pleasures and delights that I can get from any kind of achila. There's no other foodstuff other than lechem that meets that criterion. Now I'm ready for the achila itself. What would upgrade the achila to a higher level? And again, if I had a whiteboard here, I'd write the word kisufim. Kisufim means a desire on the part of man to reach the Almighty. That's called ratzon. Ratzon means my will. My will is, and too often we don't think about this when we eat, but that's the purpose of our learning here. We should think that we have a ratzon to reach higher levels of sanctity. We've already fulfilled all the 10 mitzvahs to prepare the bread. We've already made the bracha, and now we're involved in the achila. And our achila is now stimulating and arousing within us a ratzon that parallels the ratzon that comes down from above to have people glorify God, and now we've glorified God. We've expressed and acknowledged that gratitude, God. We now say to the Almighty, let this achila be on the highest level. Let it bring me to a closer relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not eating for the sake that an animal would eat, for that purpose. Obviously, I want to keep my goof, my body alive. But what's the ultimate goal? It's not the goof, but rather the neshama. And then after the achila, I sandwich the achila with another action, which is again part of Ha'oras HaRotzon, and that's what? Birkat HaMazon. And Birkat HaMazon has many dimensions to it. It has the three major brachos, and then the fourth bracha, which is called HaTov HaMeitiv, and it has what's called Zimun, and there's Zimun with three people, there's Zimun with 10 people, where we mention the name of God. All this is meant to embellish and express our Ha'oras HaRotzon. And if we had time, we would go through a different part of Rabbi Nosson's writing, which is called Hilchas Netilas Yadayim L'Seuda, and there he explains how each bracha of the three brachas of Birkas HaMazon in its own right will bring to a special, unique Ha'oras HaRotzon. There's the Birkas HaZon and the Birkas Modeh, which is David HaMelech, and then we get to the Birkas Yerushalayim. Ultimately, we get to the fourth bracha, which is called HaTov HaMeitiv, and that's the ultimate level of Ha'oras HaRotzon, which has to do with the burial of those who died in Beitar. But that's not for us today, because if you're interested, just let me know. Send me a quick email from, I forget where you live?
New York.
Which part?
Manhattan.
So send me an email from Manhattan, azariaberzon@gmail.com. And believe it or not, I'll prepare a shiur on that. But it's a beautiful shiur based on the writings of Rav Nosson about the four brachos that make up Birkas HaMazon. Now we swing back to our parsha. And now the Torah says, V'achaltem lachmechem lesova. The word lachmechem now is going to take on a whole new meaning. This is not just a physical reward that God is granting us of lechem. But it's a kind of satiation because we have a tremendous kisufim, a craving and a desire to get that Ha'oras HaRotzon, to link up with these illuminations that are coming from a higher world. And those kisufim, those intense desires that a Jew has within him, deep down in his soul, they, if fulfilled, bring to sova. Again, the word sova here, there used to be a restaurant here called Sova. I don't think it still exists. But the word Sova in this context means to give us that spiritual satiation of Ha'oras HaRotzon. So what is now the purpose of all these rewards that God bestows upon us? Ikar avtocha shemavticham al parnosa v'sova ikar u'mashe yizku al yideya parnosa v'asviya le'oras harotzon shemeir bi'eis ha'achila dafka. And you get the impression that according to Rabbi Nosson, no other physical activity could size up to achila in terms of Ha'aras HaRatzon. Like, you could talk about intimate relations, correct? But there's no bracha, not before, not after. And you could talk about involving yourself in all sorts of types of labor and physical pleasures from your labor and so forth and so on. But achila is now specific, set aside. By the way, where was the first violation of achila historically? Gan Eden Amar Rishon. And a pre-Aetz was Taiva Hile Naim. That's Taiva. That's already a desire just to enjoy the pleasures of eating partaking of the Eitz Hadas. And as a result, immediately after the Chet of Eitz Hadas, God says to Adam, Miyerek HaSoda Tochal, you're going to eat from the vegetables. I remember one time my wife and I went on a date. We still call it dating, even though we were married. And she took me to a vegetarian restaurant. And at the end of the meal, I said to her, when are they serving the meal? Like, you know, if there's no meat, then it's not a meal. Because yerek, a vegetable, with all due respect to vegetarians, is something that's common to both man and the animals. And when Adam HaRishon got the word from God, Miyerek HaSoda Tochal, he was all shocked about it. He understood that man is now being lowered to the level of an animal. And Adam HaRishon, the Medrash says, immediately cried out to Hashem, Ani v'chamor yochlu mi'ov evus echad. You know, me and my donkey are going to eat the same yerokos from the same trough. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, B'zeh asapecha tochal lechem. You have the ability, again we have to know what Zeh Asapecha means on a deeper level, metaphorically, to achieve Lechem, to rise up to the level of Lechem. Shezeu bevadei avtocha gedola, this is a great reward that God promises us. Ki zeu ikar atachlis bolam azeu bolam abola netzach. And now he quotes two psukim, one in the Torah and one in Tehillim, that indicate the word ma. Mem He. The first pasuk is Ka'eis. This is in Bamidbar Perikov Gimel. Ka'eis Ye Omer Li Yaakov Li Yisrael Ma Paul Kael. Underline the word Ma. Ma Dafka. He's going to explain what the symbolic meaning, the metaphor of Ma. And then he has another pasuk, and this is from Tehillim Lamed Aleph. Ma Rav Tuvcha Shetzafanta Li Reecha. Again, the word Ma. Ma is a word that refers to something that's beyond our comprehension. It's above the human domain or dimension. It's a dimension above. Ma, where is it? I can't see it. I cannot comprehend it. We would say in modern parlance, we can't wrap our heads around it. Ma Hashem Elokech, where are you, God? There's a dimension of divinity that we can never, ever comprehend.
Ma Alameya, right? That's what I thought the other one would be, because
that Ma is what? Meya,
is it? Doesn't great Ma Hashem Elokech have a resource from the brother today? Or did I make that up?
You'll have to remind me, David. So Ka'es Yomar Li Yaakov, Ma Paul Kael. God gives us Ma. Where do we get that Ma? It's Rav Tuvcha. David HaMelech teaches us in Tehillim, Ma Rav Tuvcha. You give us Rav Tov. What is this Rav Tov? You and I would say Rav Tov, and we have to thank Hashem. I have food on the table. Imagine what the Jews went through in the ghettos and so forth to get a piece of bread. But it goes beyond that. Ma Rav Tuvcha, there's a through that Tov, that Achila Lesova, we achieve a Ma. We project ourselves to a higher level of Ma. Shuschar Olam Abba, we get a taste of Olam Abba in this world. And this, is, my friends, is not just on Shabbos, which is Mein Olam Abba, but even during the weekday. If we eat properly, with all the descriptions, the prologue and the epilogue and the achil that we describe, then we get ma rav tuvcha. We get a taste of olam haba. Shezochim, if you want to underline these words, lekabel ha'ara, to receive and have that light. Bechinas ha'aras ha'ratzon. Right, this ha'aras ha'ratzon is coming down, but we don't know how to link up into it, how to connect to it. And the answer is be'es ha'achila, if we do our achila properly, we get distracted. And by the way, achila properly means we get together, we break bread, as the phrase goes, and we speak about Hashem, we speak about Torah. We upgrade the level and transform the achila to a spiritual experience in which we share ideas about how to elevate our achila, how to get closer to Hashem, how to understand that God is giving us, affording us with a ha'aras ha'ratzon, if only we will be able to link into that aras ha'ratzon with our own kisufim, our deep craving to get closer to Hashem. V'alkein mavticha makosu v'birkas achila v'asviya b'schara Torah v'mitzvus. What is Torah mitzvus? The purpose and the goal of Torah mitzvus is to achieve das. Das means a higher level of knowledge, a knowledge and an acknowledgement, appreciation of the Almighty. So what is the schar for getting involved in Torah mitzvahs? It's Kedushas Hadas. Could you imagine, Rav Osai? This is so mind-boggling. Achila, which is an animalistic activity, common to both man and the animals, and yet it gives us das. The animal is lav bar das. The animal doesn't have das. Man is endowed with das. It's the greatest endowment that God gave us. And how do we achieve das? Through the most physical activity that's common to the animals, namely achila. Did you ever hear such a revolution in your life? We should be dancing in the streets here. I mean that literally. This is an unbelievable chiddush. That through achila I achieve das? In Yiddish we say punkfaker. It should be just the opposite. Through achila we go down, down, down to es yerek hasoda nesaticha. Go eat the yerek hasoda. Name. The Torah is telling us that through achila you achieve das if you eat properly. And das is what separates us from the animals. And then Hashem says, tochal lechem, or here in the pasuk, achaltem lachmechem lesova. After all your Torah mitzvahs, what do you end up with? Lechem? Come on, Rabbi Nosson, give me a break. That's all I get for all my Torah mitzvahs? I'm steiging away, I'm in yeshiva, I'm learning Yom HaValayla, and all you can give me is a loaf of bread? But the answer is the loaf of bread is a personification. It's a different entity. It's coming from on high. It's the Aras HaRatzon. If we will only make our achila into a parallel activity of Aras HaRatzon, then we can achieve das, which is the highest level that man can achieve that separates him from the animals. Ki b'shas achila dafka, zochim le'oras ratzon, sheliosid, liosid meaning of olam haba, kishizochim le'das, al yidei shmiras ha'torah v'mitzvahs. And now we fast forward in the same parsha of Bechukosai, to the following pasuk. The pasuk says that in Bechukosai telechu, etc., etc., v'shalachti b'sochachem. I'm going to just give me a minute to find it in the chumash here, because I have a chumash in front of me that has only a few words on each page. Where is it? Here it is. Pasuk Yud Beis. So we've been studying until this point Pasuk Hey. Now we're going from Pasuk Hey. We'll get back to Pasuk Vav, which is Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. We'll see what that means. But for the moment, we're fast-forwarding to Pasuk Yud Beis. V'shalachti b'sochachem. I'm going to read to you Rashi. I have a chumash with Rashi here. What is God saying? That I will walk amongst you. Atayel imachem b'gan Eden, Rashi says. He quotes it, Rabbi Nosson. Ki echad mikem. Imagine taking a walk with the Almighty through Gan Eden. Now, who can even imagine such a thing? I mean, that's not a physical reward. I mean, any of the Mefarshim, as we started with, they don't understand. For all the Torah mitzvahs, all you can give me is physical rewards of parnasa and svia milechem. But wait a second, v'salachti v'sochechem, says Rabbi Nosson, and he's beginning to convince us that this parsha is not about physical pleasures and material benefits from this world, because v'salachti v'sochem is anything but a physical pleasure. Then Rashi says, Yochalo tiru mimeni, you know, maybe you'll have such a close relationship with God. He's like your buddy. You know, you're going with him for a walk, a little tiyul through Gan Eden. So maybe you're going to lose that sense of awe and of distance to the Almighty God. Says Rashi, if you look at the psukim, it says, "Vayisi lachem lelokim," and that indicates what we call yirah. Let's go back for a moment, rewind to the pasuk in Tehillim that we saw earlier. Ma rav tuvcha shetzafanta li reyecha. Do you see the emphasis on the word yirah? Ki ikar shashua olam haba hu bechinas ha'ora ha'oras ha'rotzen anal bechinas ka'eis. That was the pasuk ka'eis yom Yaakov. V'sheyizku oz lichlol shnei asogus yachad melo u'ma. Sheze ikar is karvus elov yisbar bechinas ha'tayel imochem began Eden. V'kol ze i'ef shal lizkos ki'im al yidei yira. We are striving for integration. What are we trying to integrate? There's ma and there's aye. Aye. Do you see that? Bechinas. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Bechinas melo. Melo, if you're familiar with the pasuk, melo kol ha'aretz kvodo. And ma, we said before, was that higher dimension of divinity that we cannot even comprehend. And yet we have Malo. Malo means Malo Chal Arts Kavoda. Wherever I turn, wherever I look, wherever I experience a grandiose sight, you know, I see the Grand Canyon, whatever it is, and then I say, Makom Kavoda, there you are, God. So we are in this balance between Ma and Malo, Malo Kol Haaretz Kvodo, that God, you're everywhere. Wherever I turn, I see you, God. You know, you may remember, I mean, I'm really dating myself here, but when the Americans sent their first astronaut out to space, his name was John Glenn. You remember that? And shortly afterwards, the Russians, the Soviets, sent up their guy. I forgot his name right now. Anybody remember? Anyway, so John Glenn sent back a message when he went out into space. And he said, wherever I turned, I saw God. And the Soviet astronaut sent back a message, I looked for God and he wasn't there. You know, the Soviets were, by definition, atheists. So there's one bechin of ma. Ma means wherever I turn, I can't find God. He's not to be found. He's dimensions above me. He's concealed. He's behelim. He's benistar. And then there's another bechina of melo kol haaretz kevodo, that wherever I turn, I see God. I'm going to add something here because my sister and I are reminiscing about our mother. May she rest in peace. When we used to go to Florida, my father went for health purposes. We stayed in whatever hotel. It was not one of the fancy hotels. My mother used to wake me up early to watch sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. It was an amazing experience. I mean, you'd see the rays of the sun over the ocean. That's the bechin of Malo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. Marabu Masech Hashem. So we have to find that balance, that integration of both Ma and Malo. And the key is called Yira. Yira means that I appreciate God, but yet I feel the awe of God. You know, Yira is not pachad. Pachad means fear. We're not talking about fear. Fear in Rabbi Nosson is a no-no. Leave out fear. Fear leads to atzmus. That's not something that you want. That's what's called Yiros Nefulos. You know, when you're worried about whether you'll get to your lecture in the OU Center on time. That's Yiros Nefulos. But there's a higher level of Yira, which is Yiras HaRomimus. It's not fear, but awe. We feel a sense of awe. And we have to balance the sense of God being Metayel Eschem Began Eden, you know, where it's Maloch Al Arts Kevodo, with that sense of awe. And that's Yira. Yira gives us that proper perspective. The Efshar Liskos L'chol Anal Ki Im Al Yidei HaYira B'chinas Ma Rabu Rav Tuvcha, the Pasuk in Tilim that we quoted earlier, the Ma Asher Tzofanta, God is giving us all this Tov and we're enjoying the bread and it's Maloch Al Arts Kevodo, but Li Reyecha. David HaMelech adds that key word Li Reyecha. We must have that Yira, that awe, and that sense of balance between the Ma and the Maloch. In fact, you remember I mentioned to you earlier the Medrash that says that when Avram was told by the Almighty after the sin, "Me yerek hasod nesaticha," so Avram Avinu, Adam Arishon automatically cried out, "Aniva chamor nochal mi evus echad," but the Medrash adds a word, "Nizdazea," which literally means Avram Avinu. I'm sorry, I keep saying, Adam Arishon's body started shaking. Shuddering. Like this is the level that I've reached, the low level of yerek asod, of vegetables that the animals eat. Me and the animals can eat from the same trough. So Rav Nosson, not here but elsewhere, interprets the word nizdazea as yira. That Adam HaRishon, this time I got it right, was shooting, he was hoping to reach that, aspiring to reach that higher level of Yira. And that's Bezeas HaPecha Tocha Lechem. That through Yira, he'll achieve the Lechem, the Achila will become Ha'aris HaRotzon. Because they Yizku LeKabel Ha'ari Gedola Mizeh Gam Ba'olam HaZeh Beis Achila, even in the very physical pleasures of this world, through Achila. U'machmaseh Bircham B'chol Mokum B'birchas Achila, over and over again throughout the Torah, God blesses us with Achila. And that's perhaps why the entire episode of Esav and Yaakov is all about Achila. And Esav's philosophy is Haliteni, Na, etc. You know, just shove it down my throat. That's the Achila of an animal. And that's why Esav represents the sin of Adam HaRishon, deviating from the purpose, the human goal of Achila. And when Yaakov wants to take the brachos from Esav, he feeds his father. Why the emphasis on feeding? And the Torah goes into great detail about how Yaakov feeds his father. Yaakov wanted to achieve an achila on the highest level, to contrast with the achila on the lowest level of Esav. Yaakov is a different achila, and that's called mapal. Ka'esi yomer li Yaakov Yisrael mapal kel. I understand there's a ma. There's a higher level of achila. And you may remember that Rashi says that when Yitzchak eats from the food, the shnei gediyei izin that Yaakov brought him, he smells the tam of Gan Eden, and he immediately asks, "Who are you?" Hakol kol Yaakov. Kol is always reminiscent of the Torah, of spirituality. Why do I sense Gan Eden? When Esav comes in, I never smell Gan Eden. You can't be Esav. Ube'emes lo yadati me'ikara ma'iko kashu la'mefarsh. I don't understand, says Rabbi Nosson, why the commentaries were bothered by this question, thinking that God is bestowing physical, material blessings on us? Halo mefurish b'parsha zos yidum ruchanim. You can't deny that God is talking about spiritual benefits and rewards. Shem ikar tachlis bolam azeh bolam abola netzach. Kimo shemavur v'holich b'parsha zos. Okay, so now we fast forward. Where is it? Oh, Pasuk Yud. Correct? So we've been reading the Psukim up to Yud, and then we fast forward to Pasuk Yud Beis. Now let's take a rewind to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'nasati mishkani v'sochechem. God says, I will reside amongst you. The Almighty Shekhinah will find its abode v'sochechem in you. That's a reference to what? Mishkani is what? Anybody? Mishkan, right? The Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan. God is promising us the Beis HaMikdash. How can you tell me that these are physical, material pleasures? This halachti v'sochem, Rashi says, atayel eschem began Eden. And then the Pasuk says that v'nasati mishkechem. Right, what's the Pasuk again? Mishkani v'sochechem is a mishkan. You can't tell me that these are physical dimensions and physical rewards. V'nasati mishkani v'sochechem. Da'ayu beis hamikdash. Shasham ikar ha'oras hadas. Okay, this is a whole other discussion, but suffice it to say that the purpose of the beis hamikdash is das, to endow us with the ability to come close to the Shekhinah, to understand the Shekhinah at our level, whatever level that is. But that's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, connecting our lower world with the higher worlds. Yeah, but we have only one major problem. We skipped a few psukim in the middle. What are those psukim? V'nasati Shalom ba'aretz, etc. And then it says, "U'daftev esayvechem." And they have to admit that's a physical, peace and the ability to triumph and defeat our enemies. He writes on that we should fulfill, see the fulfillment in our time. So at this point, I want to fast forward. See where we can find this. See, here's a situation where giving out the text is working against me, because I have a different text that's going to be hard for me to find. But see if you can find the words v'zeu shesiem ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi v'olicheschem komemius. I think it's in the paragraph number Beis. Do you have that? You know what I mean by paragraph Beis? It's a paragraph that starts with the letter Beis. Again, the printing is confusing here, but you should find the Beis. And he writes the following. He says, Olichoschem komias pirush Rashi bekomas kufa. You'll be standing upright. And he says, quoting Rabbi Nachman, when you talk about a komas kufa, you mean a man with power, like a soldier. That he should have a dominion over Kedusha. And that allows us to fight and defeat the battles against what's called Malchus HaRashah. And then again, fast forwarding, V'zeu uredavtem esoyvechem. What does it mean we will pursue our enemies? V'naflu lifneichem l'chorev. V'rodfu michem chamisha mea, etc. Ki tzorech sheyischazek b'kol koach lios ishchayel sheyeh lo chelek v'amalchus v'memsholah d'kedusha sheikar amalchus v'memsholah hu memsholah d'kedusha. Again, this is what's called Torah Nun Vav. It's a very famous Torah of Reb Nachman. And how do we achieve this malchus or memshola de kedusha? Hainu shemisgabrim lahoyer adas b'chavero. If I am able to teach you and give you das, that's called malchus umemshola de kedusha. Like the Rebbe has a certain memshola, a dominion over his students, and when the students turn to teach the Rebbe, because it's a two-way street, then the student gains a memshola de kedusha over the Rebbe. If we understand this concept of Malchus u'memshola de Kedusha, again, it's a very deep mystical concept. It's called Torah Nun Vav in the Annals of Breslov of Thought. Then we'll begin to shed a whole new light on our parsha here, B'chukosai u'redavtem es oyvechem. Ki l'chora tamua. Now I want you to please understand the question that Rabbi Nosson is asking, because in my opinion, this is the clincher. If we will appreciate this question, I think we will accept Rabbi Nosson's entire revolutionary interpretation of this parasha. The Torah promises us v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. What does that mean? How would you translate the word shalom? Don't all answer at once. I can't hear so many voices. Peace, correct? Is that okay? Now, if there's peace in the land, is there any need for uridaftem es oyvechem? God has already promised us. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. We're living in a tranquility and a state of peace. There are no enemies here attacking us. That's not peace. If your enemies are fighting a battle against you, that's not peace. And then in the very next passage, uridaftem es oyvechem. V'naflu lefnechem l'charev. Is this to be interpreted physically? We are defeating our enemies? We take the sword and we chop their heads off? Is that what we're doing over here? You just promised me v'nasati shalom b'aretz. So we've already achieved shalom. So there's shalom in the land. So why redaftem es oyvechem? Why is it v'naflu lefnechem l'charev? And if you appreciate that kasha, it's what I call a teku kasha, you know, it just completely knocks the socks off of you. You realize that we don't understand what's going on in this parasha. He says, L'chora tamua, mav tochas habrochas zos, sheyudu soyvechem. He has a slightly different kasha, then we'll get to the kasha that I just asked. He says, V'chizel tachlis ha'miti shal Yisrael. This is what God is going to promise us? That we're going to chop off the heads of our enemies? Am kadosh? Anybody reminded here of somebody, the initials are GM? But I don't mean the motor company. No, you don't know who I mean? Golda Meir. You remember how she said, We hold the Arabs more responsible for making us killers than for killing us. Again, I don't know if she read Rabbi Nosson, I doubt it. But he says, Zeh tachas hamiti shel Yisrael, am kadosh, sheyirdu soyveihem, v'yapilu osem b'charev. Is this what the Jew dreams about? V'lishpot zdam? We want to spill the blood of our enemies? In fact, I'm reminded of the famous Medrash that says, why don't we recite Hallel on Shvi Shel Pesach? Right, on the seventh day of Pesach, we have a half hour, but that's not real Hallel. Why? Kriyas Yamsun. And the Ribbono Shalom says, Maisa Yadai Tovim Bayam Atem Omrim Shira? Is that the purpose of a Jew, to destroy their enemies? Hallo Hashem Yisbarach Chafetz b'shalom. What's the greatest bracha of all the brachas? Mevarechas Amo Yisrael b'shalom. The last and epitome bracha in the Shmon Esrei three times a day. Now he gets the second kasha. Vayedai b'avtochas v'nasati shalom b'aretz. Dayenu, you gave us peace. V'lama lanu lirdof achrei ha'ovim. If we're in a state of peace, why are we running after our enemies? And now to get the metaphysical interpretation of this parsha, to appreciate that these rewards are not physical. Ach b'yemes zeh yadua, shekol olomos lo nivru kiim b'shvil, I would add the word Yisrael, lahakir v'leida oso yisbarach. Okay, not only Yisrael, I guess it's also the Umos HaOlam. The purpose of the universe and the creation is that sheyedu mimenu, that the people will know me. And he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says, "Begin dishtamudim la," right, to know, to reveal myself, that you should know me. That's why I created the world. Al kein hakol nivra b'shvil Yisrael sheyikablu toroso shehu adas hakadosh v'al yidei zeh makirim v'yodim oso yisbarach v'al yidei kol agdula v'amalucha she yavo rak l'Yisrael sheosim ritzono shezochim l'zeh adas. The purpose of creation was that the Jewish people receive the Torah, which is the das, which is the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and they should recognize God and know God, and that gives them a lucha, that gives them a mevshala, because as we said before, when you teach Torah, then you're Moshel, you become a Baal Memshala, you have Malchus the Kedusha, you dominate by teaching Torah and sharing das with others. And Yisrael sha'osim ritzono zochim lekach lezeh das shebishvil zeh nivra kol. So the purpose of creation is Torah, so we achieve das. Ve'al yidei valkein rak heim, only the Jewish people are called Adam. Adam means the purpose of creation was Adam. K'mo sha'amru rabu seinu zal kol misha ein bo zeh das hu chaya b'tmus Adam. He who doesn't recognize God is basically an animal. He may look like a human being. What does it mean, Yishuv Olam? It doesn't mean just to populate the ground, the land. But Hainu Lahachnis Adas Hamiti Bacherim. Every Jew is obligated to transmit the knowledge of God to Acherim. Now underline the word Acherim. Who are these Acherim? Are they Jews? Not necessarily. This is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, wanted to institute a moment of prayer into the public school system. And then the opposition was separation of church and state, blah, blah, blah. And the Rebbe said every human being should pray to God. L'hachnis zeh adas gam v'umos ha'olam. And if you don't believe me, he quotes two psukim, but he could have quoted 1,000 psukim. K'mo shekosuv sapru bagoyim es kvodo. Uksiv, another pasuk, hodiu ba'amim alilosov. V'yesh psukim harbe. So this is what we call the battle. Our battle. What do in Lubavitch they call it? Svakos Hashem, right? Our battle is a Melchemes Mitzvah. We were commanded to go to battle, to defeat ignorance of God, and rather to spread the light and the belief and the acknowledgement of the existence of God. Nitztavu Yisrael, b'Melchemes Mitzvah, kidei lashivam, to bring them back. Like, you know, we talk about when you go out to battle and you win the battle in triumph, you bring back the Chevy, the captives. What are we trying to capture here? What are we trying to lashivam? Lashivam el ha-emes. To bring them to recognize and acknowledge the ultimate truth. And you might ask, are we moving in the right direction? I don't know the answer to that question. Sometimes I wake up and I think we're regressing. We're losing the battle. And sometimes even amongst our own, let alone the Umos HaOlam. Other times I feel the other way. I get into the mood and I say, wow, you know, they put on this video that indicates that there is a God. You know, if you're following some of those videos that go spiral. Lo diam ki Hashem Elokim, sapru bagoyim kvodo, hodiu ba'amim alilosov. Shezeu tachlis amiti, that's the ultimate purpose, that all of man would glorify God. All of the human race. V'zeu avtochas u'radaftem es oyveichem. Otherwise, God already gave us peace. He gave us Shalom Ba'aretz. So what's the Redaftim is something? Redaftim v'b'chinas Ma. Ma is that element of divinity that we strive to ascend the ladder. And he quotes a long quote from the Zohar. Zosar Adifoy Iker HaShalom. The Torah is revealing us what is peace. What's the purpose of peace? The ultimate goal is not just to sleep in a sense of security. But beyond that, if there's peace, then we have an ability to go out and spread the word of Das, the belief in Ma, in something that's above nature. Of course, we have to defeat all the forces of evil that are trying to deny Ma. There is no Ma. You know, what you see is what you get. There's nothing in nature beyond that. Ikar HaShalom Amiti calls Mancha Ein Zochel Nadas V'Ein Osir Mitzono Chas V'Sholom Ein Yotzim Me'avonus V'Gomim Chas V'Sholom Afilu Nidme She'esh Lo Sholom Godel Ein Zeh Sholom Klal. Some people fool themselves. They don't accept the Das and recognize God, and yet they think we're in a state of peace. Ein Sholom Amar Hashem L'Rishoyim. The Pasuk tells us that there's no such thing as Sholom for the evildoers. Why? He calls Mancha Ein Maisav Olim Yofa Kirtzono Yisbarach. That's not the true shalom. Shalom is not a physical description of reality. Even in his very bones, in his very essence, the Russia who denies God, he's not in a state of peace. As the Pasuk says, Ein shalom bat somai. Mipnei chatasi. My hate penetrates into my bones. And as a result, I have no peace. So man might fool himself into thinking that he's living in a state of peace. Have you ever heard the phrase, make peace with yourself? Before you go out and make peace with others, make peace with yourself. That's what Rabbi Nosson is talking about here. You know where these oivim, sometimes they're inside of you. Once you get to the level of the atzmacha, you've achieved the level of shalom in yourself, now you're ready, lirdof esoyveichem, lachzirom lemutov, lekarvom ela emes, zeu ikra shalom, b'chinas ha-emes, v'ashalom ehavu. Why is emes integrated in the pasuk together with shalom? The true shalom is emes. Bechinas bake shalom v'radfeyu. Again, the word v'radfeyu, the same word that we have in our parasha. And that radfeyu is to shalom v'emes, to achieve the ultimate integration of shalom and emes. So this is called Memshala de Kedusha, the Ish Chayil, who's able to spread and bring others under the wings of Hashem to be strong in our emes, in our belief in the emes, in the truth. And we achieve the pasuk of emes, may Eretz Titzmach. We go down to the lowest level of Eretz, Lirdof Achreim. And we pursue them b'dibur emes, b'b'chinos, u'v'koshes l'Hashem. So why does it say in the pasuk, v'cherev, u'redaftem v'noflu fechem l'charev? Why the emphasis on the sword? After all, we're talking about something spiritual of das, and enlightening the world. Why are we hitting them over the head, cutting their heads over the cherev? It doesn't seem to fit in with Rabbi Nosson's understanding. Says Rabbi Nosson, the word cherev throughout Tanakh, he's going to quote psukim, is a metaphor for tefillah, for prayer. And that's the most important goal in bringing about the tefillah of our prayers, the tefillah of all of the world together. Yiratzon, we should be zocheh to see the fulfillment of these great promises in Parshas Bechukosai, the spiritual uplifting experience of making achila into Ha'aretz Ratzon, and to bring about the day of Umala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem, v'mherev Yameinu Amen.